Good evening. My name is Charles Lewis. I'm the program director here at the Arrowwood Hills Community Center, and welcome. This forum this evening is part of a program that we started 3 years ago called Finding Your Political Voice. It's a cooperative worked out between the center and with the Democratic Party Ward 1. It's nonpartisan. Its primary objective is to inform the voter, to make a more intelligent voter so you can make a more intelligent decision as to what's coming up with the election year. Now, the format for this evening has changed slightly. What I'd like to do is to give each candidate 5 minutes to give their presentation about themselves and what they plan on doing. But initially, I'd like everyone on the table to introduce themselves, and then we'll go back to the introductions. Go
ahead. Oh, thank you. Hi, I'm Stephen Councilman. I presently serve on Ann Arbor City Council, representing Ward 3, which is east side, southeast side. I grew up in Ann Arbor, graduated from Pioneer in 1981.
Just
name. Oh, that's it?
Okay. Then come back. Okay.
Hello, everyone. I'm Don Adams, running for City Council, Ward 1.
I'm Sumi Kailasapati. I'm the Ward 1 rep in the City Council.
Okay. Now let's do the presentation.
Oh, okay. Here, back to me. For all of you out in the internet land, I'm Stephen Councilman again. I serve on Ann Arbor City Council now for, I have been serving for 3 terms. That's 6 years. I've just been reelected to a 4th term. So win or lose the mayoral race, I will still be on City Council representing the city of Ann Arbor and my constituents over in Ward 3. As I was saying earlier, I grew up in Ann Arbor, graduated from Pioneer in 1981. Grew up actually over on the Miller Maple side of town, the west side. And I always get excited when I come over here to the north side because there was always a big rivalry between the west side and the north side kids of my day back in the 70s. And so I have actually a lot of friends on this side of town, and actually one's in the audience. Thank you, Erica, for coming. But also, you know, I have friends that live down on Manor over off of Skydale. And actually, I think one of your employees here at Arrowwood is a good friend of mine from my youth growing up. I'm going to read a piece of my lit just so that everybody understands exactly my position statement. As a 3-term City of Ann Arbor Council member, I have held the position with dignity, respect, and honor, and will continue to do so as mayor. I've been a strong and effective voice for all Ann Arbor residents, using common sense and fiscal responsibility as the basis of governing. If elected mayor, I will continue to work cooperatively and graciously with my council colleagues, and I am proud and humbled to have the trust, support, and endorsement of the Ann Arbor City Council members, Sumi Kailasapati of Ward 1, Jane Lum of Ward 2, Jack Eaton of Ward 4, and Mike England of Ward 5. I hope for your vote on Tuesday, August 5th.
Let's move on to the next.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I want to thank everyone for coming out and for Arrowwood for hosting another great forum. I'm Don Adams. I'm also a resident of the First Ward. I live right over here in Arrowwood in Lot L. I've been over here for a few years now. My kids, they actually are my managers, and they're not here right now, so I have to talk to them in a minute when they get back. But those are my beautiful little gems. They go to Northside, which is now going to be STEAM at Northside, and they're 2 little Girl Scouts. My wife and I served on the PTO as chairs of Northside. Also work at Eisenhower Center. We're a facility that specializes in treating residents with traumatic brain injuries. And I oversee the veterans program, so I work a lot with veterans who are retired or still active duty. So if they're active duty, I work to get them back into the field, being able to get somebody back in the field, active duty, back in theater, so it's pretty exciting. I also serve on the board of directors there. So it's a $22 million company. It's a ESOP, so it's employee stock ownership plan. We're the number one in Michigan, and I oversee the fiscal responsibilities of Eisenhower Center, the direction that we're going in, and making sure that we continue to grow so that our ESOP can grow as well. And just a little bit more background about myself. I'm the son and brother of firefighters. My brother and father are both firefighters. So that's something I do hold to heart is, you know, public safety. I want to make sure we keep that secure, and also looking for ways that we can better our affordable housing in Ann Arbor. So that's one of my goals I want to look forward to. And also being responsive to the community. So getting out there, talking to the community, hearing what their voice is, having coffee hours, which will probably be barbershop hours because I go to Rush's to get my hair cut, and I'm there every 2 weeks. And I'll probably step aside maybe to Northside Grill afterwards because I don't think ladies like to get their hair cut. So I'll be using that as my area to talk to the constituents in this area, and then also move over to the west side of the ward. I believe that's about it, and yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Next.
Hi, I'm Sumi Kailasapati. I have lived in Ann Arbor for about 17 years now. I have two kids as well. One goes to Skyline, and one is going to Clay. I came to this country 23 years ago. I was part of the democracy movement in Sri Lanka. The civil war was raging between the government and the rebel group Tamil Tigers. We were caught in between because we were standing up for democracy, and I had to go into hiding, and I was fortunate enough to get a full scholarship to Wellesley College, where I got my degrees in economics and political science. Then I moved on to a very progressive school in New York, to the New School for Social Research, where I got the next two graduate degrees in political economy. Then I moved to Ann Arbor. I taught at Eastern Michigan University in the graduate program for 10 years. And then I just wanted a change. I took the CPA exams, and I have been practicing as a CPA the past 6 years. And my interest in politics, as you can see, when I was back home in Sri Lanka, I was very much part of the democracy movement, and I have I was very involved with the democratic politics here, starting with the Kerry campaign and then the Obama campaign, and then many neighbors asked me that I should get involved in local politics, and I ran 2 terms ago when I lost, and then I ran again last time and I got re-elected. And that's my kind of the biographical background and my interest in politics. But the main reason that I got involved in local politics is I believe I bring in certain values which many neighbors felt wasn't being represented in the city government. For example, fiscal responsibility and prioritizing our expenses. Many feel that we don't do that very well. When there are certain needs unmet, we should not be. For example, one of the hot topics when we ran last time was the whole public card debate. A lot of people felt very passionate about why we should be taking money out of water, sewer, and streets when they, for example, streets were in such bad condition. So I'm very proud to have worked with my co-council members to make sure the percentage for art was ended, that we do not take monies out of these utility funds and spend it on public art. So these are some of the reasons that I ran for and I will continue to run for, and demanding that boards and commissions are broadly represented has been another interest of mine. And along with Stephen Councilman, I brought in changes to reform the DDA, which I'm very proud of. Not only did we bring in term limits, but the language was clarified and made sure that there was fairness and equity in sharing TIF dollars. So there are many achievements that I feel I have kept my promises, and I ask you to vote me back in to continue my service to my constituents, to represent you so that our shared goals are realized. Thank you.
Thank you. Now it's time for the question segment of the forum. Some of you are still filling out questions. I have 3 from people who have come and gone. I'd like to start with Mr. Councilman. One of the questions I have is that living at Arrowwood is an example of a success story for affordable housing. However, when I hear the mayor's office talk about affordable housing, it never embraces cooperative housing. Is that something you'd be willing to explore?
You know, it's an interesting question because I think I'm not sure what government has a role in the creation of cooperative housing, okay? What I do know that we have ownership of the Ann Arbor Housing Commission and the Ann Arbor Housing Commission properties. And we've neglected the upkeep of that public housing for a number of reasons over the years, but are now are focused on directing our public dollars towards that. It's interesting because, like I said, I'm not sure what local government can do for Arrowood or a co-op. We also have Colonial Squares, which was a co-op, but I think went market rate. We have University Townhouses and Forest Hills Cooperative. Okay. One of the thing that I run on, or as I campaign, is always focusing on what we can do as a government best. All right, public health, safety, and welfare. In order to, we have to do that as efficiently as possible, as focused as possible, so that all housing, whether it's a co-op, whether it's public housing, whether it's market rate housing, is served by public water, because that's the most important thing for public health, has sanitary sewer, so that the water, you know, those, we're not having overflows. And I think the most important issue is public safety, right? Because when you have high-density housing, you tend to have more crime. And whether it's Arrowood, Colonial, Forest Hills, the Village, which went into, you know, what I'm familiar with Ward 3, but, you know, growing up on this side of town, we had, you know, North Maple Estates, Pine Lake, you know, all of these housing complexes deserve a fair shake at city services. And I think that's what I think is most important for my mayoral candidacy, is to ensure that those services are going to be directed out there. Because for too long, under this last administration, it's been all downtown all the time. We haven't had that conversation. And I am open to the conversation because that's where I think it's most important, is in our neighborhoods. Arrowood Cooperative is a neighborhood. And that's one of the things I say in my lit. For too long, our neighborhoods have been neglected while politicians speculate on how to build big buildings downtown. Let's focus on our neighborhoods. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I grew up in Ann Arbor and with a lot of friends here on the north side. And I remember when we used to call Arrowood Pontiac Heights, all right? Just as we call Stony Brook, we now call it Arbor Oaks. We've changed the names of these neighborhoods because, for some reason, there was a neglect of the city services and they deteriorated. Arbor Oaks, a.k.a. formerly known as Stony Brook, at their last council meeting, we approved new water main construction. In the previous years, they got new water mains, new storm sewer, the new roads, sidewalk were repaired. And you go into that neighborhood, and it looks great. And when it looks great, people feel good. And when they feel good, they take care of their community. Mm-hmm. Regardless of income, regardless of ethnicity, when the city is taking care of its infrastructure, people take pride in it. As we heard, that focus has not been a part of our city government for a number of years. While they were raiding the utility fund to build a $750,000 fountain in front of City Hall, they didn't bother painting fire hydrants. And if anybody can tell me where they saw the city painting a fire hydrant in the last couple of years, please show me, because every fire hydrant that I see has been neglected. And I take those things very seriously, because if you can't take care of that most basic responsibility of painting a fire hydrant, cutting the grass in the park, filling the pothole, then while at the same time you talk about how progressive you are, chasing countywide transit to provide commuter service to people that live in Chelsea, your tax dollars at work, or putting fountains in front of City Hall, or paying for a chandelier, you know, in the atrium of the new Justice Court Center. So yes, I'm open, Yes, I'm open to a conversation for whatever the city can do to make sure that Arrowood is a thriving community, and
The question. The question was to be supportive of more cooperative housing in the city.
I don't think the government has a control over whether it's co-op or market rate.
No, but you can be supportive of any plans to do something like that.
Okay.
So, Arrowood was supported by the city fathers when they first came up with it.
Right.
And were very instrumental in having Arrowood come about. And as you mentioned, many of the co-ops in the city have gone market rate in their condominiums. So that population that was able to move into those co-ops can no longer do that.
Right.
And you have people who grown up in Ann Arbor who would like to stay in Ann Arbor,
of course,
but they may not be able to afford
I know all about it.
But thank you. The next question is for Mayor and Council. We'll start at this end. Explain your position on Spark. Would you or do you support giving them an extended contract? Why or why not?
We actually voted on this on Monday. Let me just be very clear. Ann Arbor taxpayers are paying or funding Spark in three different ways. Let's take the fiscal year 2015. Almost 1.8 million of the LDFA TIF capture goes to Spark. That's 1.8 million. And another 200,000 of Ann Arbor taxpayers' money that goes to the county, in turn, is given by the county to Spark. In addition to that, there's another 75,000 from our general fund that goes to Spark to attract big companies from outside Ann Arbor. It could be from India or somewhere else. That's the money that we actually voted to hold off on Monday. The reason is we have come to see that there are two sets of numbers floating around between job creations of what Spark has reported to us, the city, and what they have given it to MEDC, and MEDC in turn showing to Schneider. So we have asked for clarity, and once that clarity is given to us, we will have to rethink how much we want to contribute, because we looked at the list of other jurisdictions, how much they are contributing to Spark. They're contributing $2,000, $3,000, and we are contributing $75,000. Economic development is fine, but I think Spark is focusing on high-tech, kind of Google, Apple kind of idea. But I believe in balanced growth. I actually went to campaigning on Barton and Traver. I met a lady, and she said she was trying very hard to start up her small retail business online. And she said, I visited Spark several times on several counts. They were not able to help me. And for me, that's a problem. I don't think we should be just putting all our eggs in one basket, because we don't want what happened to Pfizer situation. We attract these huge companies to come in, and then they leave, and it's a big dent. I certainly believe in economic development, but not just the Spark way of doing it. That's one part of it. But I think we need a broad perspective on development where we also help local businesses, small entrepreneurs.
Okay, Spark. So Spark is a little tricky to talk about. So there's some support for Spark because Spark has brought new business to the downtown area and to the surrounding areas. And I know that the council has been asking, requesting to see the information about how many jobs it's been creating, how much money it's bringing, how many people are actually being hired in the Ann Arbor area through the Spark Spark company. Then some would argue that Spark is an organization that the governor organized to help small businesses get started, but at the same time taking money from our public school systems and other amenities that the state could use. So in regards to supporting Spark, I see the benefit of Spark. I would not like to see the benefit of Spark come from our kids and their public education or other needs that the community could benefit for. So it's, I see the reason why we have it and how it's good for Ann Arbor, but at the same time, I would love to see that money come from somewhere else and able to support our kids, which my manager just fell asleep. I'm good, thank you. Yes.
Okay, and so the question was, do I support extending that 15 years?
It says, explain your position on Spark. Would you or do you support giving them an extended contract? Why and why not?
Okay. So a little bit about Spark that I'm familiar with is that they're receiving funding from the LDFA, which collects a portion of taxes from downtown, primarily through the DDA district. And, you know, so they're receiving public dollars. And then they're receiving public dollars from the city's general fund through a contract for a business retention services. And so there's this balance of how much money should Spark be getting versus the other priorities that we have with our general fund and versus what the LDFA should have with the monies that they're collecting. Should it all be going to Spark or should there be other activities? I'm fine with that balance, with that tension of trying to figure out what that proper balance is. However, for now, and I think we've been given a choice about whether or not to extend it 5 years or 15 years, and I am not willing to extend it for 15 years. I think that is puts it way too far out for a time frame to understand if it's going to be successful or not. The bigger issue for me is really coming to terms with the fact of how Spark is just a contractor to the LDFA TIF and whether or not that TIF authority is really making or is collecting enough, is whether or not the state is reimbursing the school aid fund for the amounts that are being taken out. We all hear that's taking place. But I've recently read a communication from our state legislature that basically says that there has not been any credible information that there's been an audit provided by the state treasury that in fact is true. So that is very concerning. I mean, you know, it's interesting when you're in politics and you hear lots of statements that everybody assumes are true, but they really are nothing more than myths. You know, for example, we hear that Ann Arbor has, you know, 60,000 commuters. What's it, time? Okay. So, 5 years maybe, 15 no. That's my position on the contract.
Can I just say something? I didn't respond to that very specific question. I stand the same. 5 years maybe, 15 no.
I will support the same thing.
The next question is both to the mayoral candidates and the council. And we'll start at this end. Do you support improvements to Plymouth Road crosswalks? Could the crosswalks be safer for pedestrians and drivers? If Michigan adopts the state law, would you still support a local ordinance?
Well, the question is a little discombobulated because there is a state law that allows for, you know, vehicle code. But let's step back, all right? Yes, all crosswalks have to be well-defined and uniform. And I think we all can agree that there's some crosswalks in Ann Arbor that haven't met that basic minimum standard. We have signage that says vehicle stop for pedestrians within the crosswalk, but our local ordinance says if they're standing at the curb. So there's confusion. I believe that everything should be uniform, state and local ordinance, because drivers do not necessarily have the understanding of when the laws change once they cross jurisdictions. Anything that we can do to improve public safety is certainly a must. The problem is that we haven't been focusing on that. We've always been focused on the words on the paper of the local ordinance, rolled it out, changed the words, and then all of a sudden the laws has changed and the signage wasn't out there. The rapid flashing beacons hadn't been installed. And so there was a lot of unfortunate circumstances that were created, and we had a death, and I think that was really unfortunate, a pedestrian killed. So we have to do better in that respect. And I've been saying this time and again. We have a city staff person who's a transportation planner who talks about these kind of elements for pedestrian safety. That's his part of his job. But my opponents on running for mayor actually supported putting him on the Ann Arbor Area Transportation or the Ann Arbor Transportation Authority. And so now his focus hasn't been on pedestrian safety, it has been on mass transit. And that, I think, is a big difference.
Okay. So in regards to the Plymouth Road crosswalk and supporting, I'm guessing you're asking, and correct me if I'm wrong, supporting an ordinance for that particular area and state law?
This is where I'm going to leave the question.
Okay.
Do you support improvements to Plymouth Road crosswalks? That's the first part. Mm-hmm. Could the crosswalks be safer for pedestrians and drivers? If Michigan adopts a state law, would you still support a local ordinance?
Okay. So it would be definite yes to the first two. I believe the safety in that area is of concern. As Councilman said, we did have actually two deaths over there. One was most recent, was an Ann Arbor student, and the first one was someone from the Muslim community. So I believe safety over there is a big issue. One of the things, as I was talking to members from the WBWC, is educating. So educating the community on those ordinances and ensuring that they are understanding and enforcing the ordinance. I'm trying to remember the third question. I thought I wrote them all down.
If Michigan adopts state law, would you still support a local ordinance?
Yes, I would still support a local ordinance in the respect of this is the ordinance that we have upheld, voted on, and that we have already talked to the community about, who is also in support of it as well. So as I said earlier in my opening statement, anything that I plan to do or do on council, I plan to talk to the community first and have their support and understanding as we move forward. So if the council did have an ordinance, that would be something I will be in support in, even if the state has a law.
Yes. I'll start with the last question. I spoke to State Rep Adam Zemke even recently, beginning of the month. I was at an event with him, and I was telling him how glad I was he was leading the state crosswalk ordinance. He's showing real leadership, and I know a lot of safety advocates from Ann Arbor are going for these meetings, and I'm totally behind him on this issue to develop state crosswalk ordinance. And I believe once that is enacted, that should govern the entire state. Because when you drive, you're not thinking, oh, I'm in Ann Arbor now, I'm in Ypsilanti, I'm in Ann Arbor Township. Uniformity is what brings in safety. I mean, when us kids start driving, I mean, they don't know where the Ann Arbor Township border is, where Ann Arbor is. So I think, you know, in order to maximize safety, we need to have a statewide crosswalk ordinance, and we have to follow that. That's where I stand. And as far as crossings on Plymouth Road, yes, it is still very dangerous because sometimes the sun is in your eyes and the lights are flashing. It's not very clear whether there is. And there are several issues. So if there are methods to make the crosswalks on Plymouth Road safer, because these are mid-block crosswalks, I am all for it, because that's one of city council members and the city's primary task is the public wealth, of public safety part of it. So, yes.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. The next question is for both council and mayor. And we'll start with Mr. Adams. Mm-hmm. How would you give equal attention to rebuilding the infrastructure in the downtown area as well as the neighborhood? Include how would you raise $200 to $300 million necessary to do this?
Okay. For the infrastructure for downtown, I know you get a lot of your information sometimes from the DDA, and hearing what their recommendations are for building infrastructure downtown. You look at that and see if it's right for the community, and if it's right for the community, and you want to make sure that it's also going to support the community. So the dollars that are put into the downtown area should also be dollars going into the community. So one would be responsible government. Now raising the $200 to $300 million, which I'm still trying to do for my campaign as well, will be something you will have to, you know, that part I am not 100% sure I can answer that question. So I don't want to say anything that will affect, you know, how I think, but that's something that I could look up.
When you say infrastructure and lump 200 to 300 million, infrastructure is, the money comes out of, for example, streets, the street millage fund. The water has its own water fund. So sewer has its own sewer fund. So I'm assuming when the person who wrote the question, if they are here, maybe they can tell me, is that what you meant? All the infrastructure lumped together, right? Okay, so all those infrastructures have their own, so streets should be coming out of. So for example, I know there's still a big balance in our street millage fund, repair millage fund. That is because we had stockpile money for the stadium bridge reconstruction, and we got federal dollars for that. So we are still trying to bring that balance down, but staff tell me that we cannot fix all the roads at the same time because there's going to be a gridlock, but we can definitely make a concerted effort to catch up on fixing our streets, because that's a big issue. But we also need to remember that we need to make sure that our sewer and water pipes are also maintained, because they are old. Many of them are old, and we saw with this bad winter how many water main breaks were occurring. Infrastructure in downtown versus neighborhoods, what I'm seeing is there's a big gap in the neighborhoods. There's a huge demand for example, traffic calming. Many streets feel that the spillover effect of downtown development is being realized in the neighborhoods, like Barton Drive. People who want to get into Barton Drive in a hurry want to cut through Northside neighborhood. So I think there's a large infrastructural need in the neighborhoods, and downtown kind of always gets the attention because that's where the city is, downtown. But I think what we need to do is to balance that off and recognize the spillover effect of downtown development. We need to really focus on the needs of the neighborhoods right now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, well, I'll start with the last part of the question. How would you raise $200 to $300 million for downtown improvement or for citywide capital improvements? You're not, all right? You're just not. It's ridiculous to think that you're going to raise that in 1 year. So the way it's all set up is you have to plan, and that's what we have our capital improvement plan for. And you plan out a number of years to figure out, you know, so that you can start construction 1 year. The next year you're doing design work for other projects, and, you know, that's what you plan. That's why it's a 5-year capital improvement plan. The big difference that we have now for the next mayor is actually using the DDA for one of its main intended purposes, and that is downtown development. Okay, that is infrastructure. That is taking the tax dollars that they're collecting from the taxing authorities, the city, the county, the library, and what is the other one? The community college. That's right. Off my game tonight. And then and taking those tax dollars and restructuring the DDA so it's not a patronage organization where it's giving out grants every year to, you know, downtown businesses or property owners, but using that money to equally across the downtown. And one of the things that I've recently become aware of from learning more about the DDA law is that we as council can work with the DDA to create a development plan that coincides with our capital improvement plan. So every year when we approve the budget, we can also be approving the development plan that coincides with our capital improvement plan, and the money that the DDA has in their coffers for that particular year can go towards water main construction, street construction, pedestrian lights, cobra heads, sidewalks, all of that. And as long as the DDA is using its tax dollars to reinforce downtown, the neighborhoods have the rest of the money.
Next question. What is your number one priority for Ann Arbor, and how will you accomplish this?
Can I just split it into two, maybe? Because, I mean, it's just so hard. It's like asking you who's your favorite family member. I mean, who's your favorite kid? I mean, you can't, yeah? Anyway, let me take a stab at it. I guess I take fiscal responsibility very seriously because I believe in core services, basic services. I know a lot of politicians respond to this or retort to this by saying, Ann Arbor ain't a basic city. We are more than a basic city. And my argument is something like if my kid came and said, let's just skip middle school, I don't want to learn all that stuff, let's just go to college. So that's what's happening here. And I think giving good public services, I mean, that's what is, I think, primary reason I'm here. And it comes with the fiscal responsibility. If you don't waste money, every dollar wasted is not a dollar there for you to do something that really needs to be done. Whether it's snow removal, I went to a couple of neighborhood meetings where they were thinking of getting a private company to come and start clearing their roads, I mean, public roads. And I said, but this is our job, the city. But they said, yeah, by the time you come, I mean, it's just so late. I mean, we need to get out of it. And it just makes me sad because people who live here actually pay their taxes gladly because they believe in the values of Ann Arbor, which is a community that takes care of itself, right? And so for me, I feel we need to get that done. So for everybody who thinks this isn't a basic city, I mean, first we need to get the basics done before we can think of that $1 million art project you want to put in front of City Hall. So whether it's snow removal or getting our roads fixed or getting fire and police up to code, all these are basic services I think we need to get done.
Thank you.
Okay. So as I said, my one thing I would love to see for the city of Ann Arbor is just more affordable housing. Affordable housing brings a uniqueness to a community that, you know, some may not understand. So shown that vibrant communities have affordable housing where they have people of different incomes in that area. And some may say, I don't understand, I may not want that in my neighborhood, but at the same time, they will want a vibrant city, downtown, and amenities for their community. What having the resource of affordable housing in the area will allow those people, one, to be able to get the jobs that people would love to go to. So when it comes to working at a restaurant as a waiter or a bus person, working at other jobs in community that others may not be doing at the time or may not want to do, that's where you have people in affordable housing. They're able to work those jobs, use our great public transportation, which just had a good passage of the millage, and also support the community by working in the community. So and, you know, as a product of, you know, using affordable housing, I see the benefits of it. And just to go back to your question that wasn't geared to council, I'm also, you know, in support of cooperative living. It's a great way for people to have ownership, but at the same time work together for the community. So my number one thing would be affordable housing.
What was the question?
What is your number one priority for Ann Arbor, and how will you accomplish this?
I'm running for office because I think there's been something missing in our city administration for a number of years, and that's trust, you know. And that is probably one of the most important reasons that I am intending on serving as mayor, is to help reinstall the trust that our community has of its government, because for some reason I'm not feeling it and I'm not hearing it from my constituents. And I think there's a lot of us that are unhappy with the way our government has not been open and transparent. So my purpose as mayor would be to help reinstill that trust. I think I'm already halfway there because I have the trust and support of four other council members. The other mayoral candidates don't have that. I think it's important that when a council member and mayor, they go to a public meeting, that everybody believes what they say, and they say what they mean.
Yeah.
We don't want to have these surprises when you show up. And we've had a number of those over the years.
Thank you. This is just for council. And we'll start with Don. What is your position on adding more police officers?
So, since this is on the record, and I have two individuals in my family who work for public safety, I am definitely supportive of public safety. But at the same time, if it's financially responsible, and also if that's something that the city needs. So currently right now, I know the council did approve of some cops to police officers to walk downtown. I know the I can't think of his name right now.
Chief Siegel?
Yes. Yes, Chief. Chief of Police has said that crime is at an all-time low right now. Also at the meeting he had with the Ann Arbor Democratic Party, he said he's not looking to add additional officers. And I would want to use his recommendations when looking at that. A lot of crimes that we have right now in the city of Ann Arbor are preventable crimes. So you have crimes where people are leaving their cars open, the garage doors open, but none of the major crimes that you're seeing in other metropolitan areas. If that's something that the city needs, I would definitely support it, and making sure that we're financially responsible and that we're not getting to an area where a few years down we may be in another fiscal crisis and we have to lay off officers. So taking all those perspectives in mind and making a reasonable decision.
I don't have a magic number as to how many cops we need. And we have a very able chief, Chief Sito, who gives us constant feedback on whenever we have new demands on him, he's able to give us a good feedback. For example, when the mayor vetoed our crosswalk ordinance, our repeal, when he vetoed the repeal, we wanted to make sure now that the local crosswalk ordinance was in effect, we had to make sure that it was enforced, because just having it on paper doesn't help. So we asked from him how much he would need, and we did allocate money for overtime for the police for enforcement. So just because class one crimes are down, I know a lot of people cite that major crimes are down, we don't need additional police, isn't just a straight answer as such, because there are other issues. For example, traffic enforcement. I don't need to tell you guys, right? People flying down Pontiac Trail at 50 miles an hour when there are children crossing. So we see issues. So for me, it's not just class one crimes, but it is also other neighborhood. Enforcing up pedestrian ordinances, speed limits, these are all quality of life issues. So I will depend on Chief Sito to organize his department to maximize how he's going to deploy his men and women, and he will constantly give us feedback depending on that, what the needs are. We are making progress, slow progress, but I think we'll get there where we are satisfied with proactive as well as reactive policing that is needed in this community.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now, this question seems to trickle to everyone, so I'm going to do this for everyone. Does each member endorse public transit millage?
Sorry. Yes, I endorse the public transit millage.
Yes, I definitely did. And I also have my company support public transit because this is just a side note, because when you have a public line and when you add more, you have more accessibility to people with disabilities who need to call ARI for pickup. So that's something that we deal a lot with, was people with disabilities. So we definitely support it, and I supported public, the transit millage.
I support a robust public transit system for our residents. I'm very clear on that. But on the millage itself, I did not neither oppose it nor endorse it, because of the experience of the last, the bond and the millage for public art, the library bond and the millage. The politicians were all for it. And when it went to the people, they defeated it. So for me, when I need to make a decision, I go to the people and find out where they stand, what their issues are, and I make a statement. But when a vote goes to the people, I don't want to pretend I know better than them. But because it's their tax dollars, it's their priorities, and for me, I think as an elected representative, it's my duty to listen what they want. There's a clear sounding approval for it. So now I think what we need to do is make sure that we have good people sitting on the Ann Arbor Transport AAATA to make sure that the extra money is made sure that it is spent wisely on the services for the people.
And coming down to the wire, the this is for everyone. I'll start with Don. Is the timing of the Pontiac Trail work good, given that a major development is planned, which will bring in heavy trucks, which will do greater damage to the part of Pontiac Trail that doesn't look like the other part?
Well, since I drive down Pontiac Trail a lot, oh, the timing is always beautiful if you go down that road. But to answer the question, no, it's not. So what they've been doing on Pontiac Trail is, which is kind of unique, is cutting separate pieces out and filling those in and paving them, which I do love and appreciate. I can say that. So thank all of you guys. I do appreciate that. But yes, it could have waited with these heavy trucks coming in and doing damage to the road. I would love to have see it wait a little bit longer. But as someone who drives down it, I can appreciate it right now. But we may run into an issue later on down the road once this development starts and ends.
What do you mean the cutouts that he meant, or the reconstruction that's going to happen between Skydale and the bridge?
I think you're talking, wait, who wrote the question?
Yes, I did. Yeah, it's the reconstruction between Skydale and the bridge.
Yeah.
Right? And you know there's a major development
exactly
the northern section of Pontiac Trail.
Exactly.
And I was just wondering about the wisdom of
doing
this
at this time.
Major road work when it's going to be pretty much damaged by all these heavy trucks.
Exactly. So so this is not the area you were referring to, I guess. This is
That back area.
Back area, yes. Is going to be a complete reconstruction. They said they're going to put sewer pipes 25 mm-hmm. feet. They're going mm-hmm. to dig 25 feet deep and put sewer pipes in and water and do the whole. So I guess that's going to happen because that's in the capital improvement plan and it's planned well ahead, mm-hmm. years ahead. So this was their turn and they kind of go with it. But I guess the surface area is going to be, as you say, with the new development coming in, the surface is going to be all damaged up, and that, I guess, that we need to make sure the developer picks up all that damage. So, I definitely see your point of timing here.
Yeah.
There's never a good time to wait. So I think, the fact that the project is moving forward on the city side to repair the roads, and the roads are really in bad shape, we might as well get it done. In terms of planning for future development, I was on the planning commission, I think, when that project was first proposed back in 06 or 04, somewhere in there. So, talk is talk. When it happens, we'll deal with it. I think that the city I think there's an ability to bond with the developer to make sure that if there are damages, it's paid for through their bond company. I think, the roads are in bad shape. We got to get them done. Can't be waiting.
I don't think the question, the way I'm reading this question here, Mr. Gloria, that work that's being done there is to repair, that's not a complete road work. That is to repair something that was really needed at that time to support the trucks that's going to be hauling that dirt and stuff off of the Pontiac Trail line.
No, and I'm talking about this complete redo. It involves
Skydale to the bridge.
It involves pervious surface and rain gardens and all this stuff.
Well, I mean, up there's a big sewer pipe going there. There's a big sewer pipe.
Yeah, sure. I know that. But when you know that a major development is coming that's going to damage the road surface, I mean, it's fine. We've waited all these years to do these improvements.
I think that's a band-aid job.
The road's going to need to be redone.
What you're saying is they're about to do Sky North eventually.
Yes, that's right.
So
yeah.
Now you're doing this big road project now.
Correct.
What happens when all those heavy trucks come down Pontiac Trail, those little repairs you've done here, to get to Sky North? Would cause any damage, and how would you then correct that? Because what's one of the things that Mrs. Bowman, the planning person, she said that, we're not coming back to Pontiac Trail for another 20 years. And I'm going, well, you haven't had the development down there yet. you'll have to do a whole lot of things if they're putting in $500,000 houses and X number of houses on that side of Pontiac Trail. So of course you have to do this in this service. But I think that was your question.
How long did we wait?
Well, you said 2006.
That's so my whole point. Well, how long do you wait to see if they're actually going to build? Do you wait until the houses are done before you fix the road?
No, saying, you just said that 2006 yeah, so, you were talking about. And that's over. How many years ago?
That's at least eight. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, this is the last question. And we'll start there. Do you favor tax abatements for new business commitments? If so, why? And at what level or duration?
You know, we use tax abatements, I want to say somewhat sparingly, but I know that we've used them a lot more than have been used in previous decades. And partly it's because it's the way the development process has been created through the state. All right, we're trying to compete with other communities who also offer tax abatements. I mean, it's a downward spiral, and I agree it doesn't seem right and it doesn't seem fair. But at the same time, you can't just say no and not offer a tax abatement knowing that that job creation and that development will go somewhere else. And there's ways, if those jobs don't turn out, we get a clawback clause, I think. So we saw that with the Edwards brothers. They were given a tax abatement. They don't get it all. So there are ways of keeping accountability through the tax abatement process. Why it's used, to pit communities against each other, I think is a failure of the state legislature, but it's not really something that we as a local body can address without the state taking it on.
So yes, it's a tricky one. So to have those businesses come in and offer them those abatements, but at the same time, not offering them could cause them to not look at your city or to not come in. So kind of agreeing what Councilman just said. But at the same time, we need to ensure that as the business come in and the services they're offering will, one, support the city, and two, be able to hold up to its financial responsibility. So it's a... And some of the questions, like a double-edged sword, is could be good for the city and for the area, but at the same time, just ensuring that it's going to support the city and the community. So I couldn't say yes or no right now.
I'm not a big fan of tax credits and tax rebates. I think it was on NPR one of these days I was driving, and they were talking about the film credits that were being given in multiple states to attract companies to come and do their filming for movies. And the net, one of these big university professors had done the final analysis of that, and what they found out was it was a net loss for the states. You gave all this money expecting that you'll make so much more money out of these film units coming in, but it was so. I really have this vision that it is kind of a race to the bottom, because we are trying to pull people going to, let's say, Chicago to come to Ann Arbor. So we are just pitting communities against each other. I think if you have a community where the education system is good public transit system, affordable housing, good services, businesses are going to flock there. So I think instead of eroding the public sphere, that's what this does. This moves money out of the public sphere into the corporate sphere. I'd rather put it back and invest it in our children, school, infrastructure, and get the economy vibrant where companies will come flocking there. So that's my position.
And according to the end, you each get 5 minutes to do a summation. Not a question, I want to throw this out here and just have you think about it, because your next meeting, I will be there with this question. University of Michigan owns 6-7% of Ann Arbor. What happens when it's 15-25%? Now, let's start with the summations. Let's start with you.
so doubling. So doubling of the land owned by the city. I mean, the university.
No, that was just something with your app. This is the end of the program now. Oh. You can just talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Oh, okay. I thought you wanted me to figure out how to address the gap in revenue, and I haven't even figured it out.
I'm giving you a few weeks to answer that.
Okay, got it.
Calculator,
please. summation.
Yes.
I mean, we talk about roads and affordable housing and issues like these are the things that we value most. And for me, fiscal responsibility, which is essential for funding of core services, and protection of our parks and natural areas, robust public transit system, and supporting affordable housing, and accountability and transparency in not only our government, but also all the funding agencies, whether it's DDA, SPARC, LDFA. These are kind of the core values or the things that I keep repeating. And I also believe for a people's government to work well, and we have lots of people with many ideas, a lot of educated people who have solution to our problems, we need to make sure our boards and commissions are broadly represented. That's another issue I think the next mayor needs to make a concerted effort, because I keep hearing that again and again, that people with kind of the same mindset are again and again appointed to boards and commissions, so the results are the same results. You want people with opposing ideas to be represented so that the solution that comes out of it is more robust, because it has already been critiqued and argued. And so these are the basic ideas. But I also feel when you synthesize all this and come to the big picture, this is where I think there is a philosophical issue going on. And what I feel is we sometimes neglect or do not serve the current residents because the city is so focused on future development and getting people and business coming into. There is this, and this really struck me, because there is a four-way stop on Nixon, Green, and Dubara. They took the two signs off on Nixon, so now people coming on Green and Dubara have to stop. Two professors actually emailed me and asked me, why are we giving priority to the commuters? Commuters are the ones who are going to come on, because that's the end of the city line, right? People who are commuters coming. Why are we giving this priority to the commuters versus people who actually live here, right, on Duvaran? I mean, there's the Foxfire subdivision where I live, and then there's Carrot Way, and there's also Leslie Park, right? These are huge communities. Right. And that kind of really struck me. This is what people are beginning to feel. This, we don't want to take care of, or we are kind of neglecting our current residents, what they want, because we want to put this new train station up there because our population is going to grow by double in whatever years. Or we are going to get the next, Apple is going to move here, so we need to have the connector running around to move them. So I feel growth is inevitable, growth is welcomed, growth has to be balanced. You don't stop living now because you want to hold your breath and save everything for the future. We need to make sure that our current desires and our current demands and our current needs are met. That should be our focus. I'm not saying we can't plan for future, but I think it has become kind of lopsided now. We put in so much effort about thinking about the future and trying to attract the next big company here, rather than actually value and serve our current residents, who are the taxpayers who love here and choose to live here because they love Ann Arbor. So that's my position.
Thank you.
All right. So as I've said before, and most of you guys know who I am, and I'm very responsive in the community. That's what I plan to continue. I plan to continue to talk to the residents, hear from the residents, and discuss issues with the residents. As some have said, best government is performed when people have disagreements, because you're able to hear the other sides, have their understanding, and possibly get great ideas from them. So that's what I plan to continue to do, and things I've done, working with the Northside PTO and the Ann Arbor PTOC, and also as a board of directors at Eisenhower Center. So that's one of the things I plan to do, and things that the community has been asking for as well. Another thing, as I've said many times, is to help Ann Arbor to be a vibrant community with affordable housing as well. So that's something that I would love to see in other areas of the city and other wards. For a project like that, I know there's been talks of another project going on, which I don't know if I want to give excitement to yet, but I would just say I know there's talks, and I'm very, really excited about the talks that have been going on. Also, as I said, since this is recorded, I am for public safety. I do care about public safety, and I also care about those who perform the public safety, so firefighters and the police officers. My father, if he was here, he would definitely make sure I said something like that, because I do support them. And, you know, with him serving also with the United States Army, you know, that's how I grew up, was safety and keep the community safe, and in his standards, keeping the country safe. And as, you know, as Ann Arbor continues to grow, which is inevitable, I want to look at non-motorized transit safety. So looking for the safety of those of pedestrians, cyclists, runners, because unless you talk to those people, you don't have an understanding of the safety concerns that they may have. So as I talk to the WBWC, I hear a lot of those concerns. As I talk to people, as I hit doors, I hear concerns regarding traffic calming, people cutting through to get to some of the major roads or freeways. And there's also a huge concern right now, which is over in the Skydale area. Since that area has been cut off, they've been having buses cut through there to make that turnaround. So I know today they did have a protest at 5:45 for that particular reason. So, and they were looking for answers, and I told them I will, you know, talk to the appropriate people and try to get back with them. So that's a big concern they have, and that's a lot of kids that live in that area that go to Northside, because my kids hopped out the car and talked to every last kid that was out there playing. And just a few more things would be, one, just supporting the community. So looking for ways to keep the community safe, addressing their needs. And that's all I have. So I'm getting happy that, you know, this is coming to a close, because I have, you know, two kids who are trying to support me but knocked out right now. Well, one just woke up.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you to the candidates up here at the table to provide information to the community about how they would run this city better. And I think that's what we're all trying to do. We're trying to run the city better. As mayor, I think there's a lot of things that I would bring to the office. One is a trust that the community could look forward to, open and transparency in our government to make sure that everything is available. We don't have to FOIA for the most minute kind of information that should be posted online. Accountability, I think, is a big issue that we've been lacking. The DDA basically has been running rampant without following the law, and the law is pretty clear. But, you know, they told us things that we find out were not true. Even for that matter, the AATA, you know, at one time wasn't providing the kind of information that was required by the court order from the early 70s. These are all things that I, you know, brought to the table for the years that I've been on council, is, you know, making sure that everyone follows the rules from within and without. That's what government is. It's a book of rules. And we need to make, and if the rules are not applied fairly and equally, it creates distrust. And so, again, that's what I try to bring to the table if I was to run for mayor, or if I become mayor. The mayor itself has a number of responsibilities, one of which is to run the meeting, the parliamentarian. And thank goodness I've got the support of Jack Eaton, who's a lawyer that can certainly guide me with some of the responsibilities of following proper Robert's Rules of Orders and other parliamentary procedures. Because we know that in the past, the mayor that is presently serving the office has tried to trick us. And it's been unfortunate because that when you know that it has happened, it creates that distrust. One of the other responsibilities is the of the mayor office is for appointments to boards and commissions. And I totally agree with Council Member Kalasapathy regarding a diversity of thought on our boards and commissions. We need to have a broad consensus but of who serves, because obviously council has to approve the nominations, but we want people serving on our boards and commissions that are spending public dollars to have vigorous and open debate about where the money's going, so that we, you know, it's never pretty when you're in a public meeting and having to make decisions, but I think the community would rather see democracy in action than secrecy behind closed doors. And that's been part of the problem of the distrust that has been created in our community. So I think I'll make sure that everybody who is serving on a board and commission is willing to do so on TV, online, whatever it takes to get their voice out into the public, into the community, so that we know. One thing that I will not be doing as mayor is engaging in speculative development. The last thing we'd need is a mayor who's wheeling and dealing. We've had the wheeling and dealing of the conference center hotel for the library lot. We saw where that went. If we go even way back, one of my first votes on council in 2006, and it's a vote that I'll always regret, is the Lower Town development. All right, I'm sure that is something that everybody here on the north side drives by every day and wonders what happened. Well, I can tell you what happened. Everybody was trying to play wheeling and dealing, and they were trying to play speculative developer. The city was going to get a parking structure out of that effort. That project got so overloaded with so many partners that it collapsed. And who knows what will happen with that property in the years ahead. We saw that same sort of effort, you know, with the Y lot, where we were going to end up doing 100 units of affordable housing next door to a luxury hotel. What kind of sense was that? That's why I'm running as a common sense Democrat. We need to bring common sense back to our government so that we're not wasting our precious tax dollars. You know, another ill-conceived plan was countywide transit. We had a number of people that were jumping on board saying, let's ride out into the country to see the fields of flowers, but use your tax dollars to get us there. It failed. I predicted it would fail. It failed because we know that nobody in Western Washtenaw County had any interest whatsoever in taxing themselves for commuters to ride past cornfields to come to Ann Arbor and vice versa. Perfect. Thank you. I hope for your vote on August 5th.
Well, I'd like to thank
Councilman
Kalasapathy for bringing this
Thank you for inviting us.
And I'd also like to thank the audience for coming. Your questions were very poignant and needed to be asked. And I hope that when we have our next one in the fall, focusing in on the school board election, again, attend. Again, thank you all for coming. And we'll talk.